ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मामृतम् गमय। अस्तु मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्योर्मामृतम् गमय। अस्तु मा सद्गमय तमसो Freedom, Ecstasy, and Awakening class, Meditating with the Vijnana Bhairava. And we're going to be doing a variety of practices on this call, on this class. Some of them quite technical, practices on inner spaces that are discussed in Tantra, some of them having to do with the energy inside, emotion, desire, fear, anger, and some other esoteric and even practices that we might be familiar with as spontaneous experiences, but not have fully recognized as what they are. And this, in fact, is one of the, for me, it's always been one of the kind of miraculous gifts of the Tantra in general and the Vijnana Bhairava in particular, is that one of the gifts it gives to us is to constantly point out to us that experiences that we may be taking for granted are actually entrances into divine consciousness. So I just want to say a word or two about the basic bhava, the attitude that the Vijnana Bhairava wants to help you live in. It's actually kind of paradoxical. So you'll remember, this is a dialogue between, let's call it the transcendent aspect of consciousness, of God, and that aspect of God, of consciousness, that takes on forms, that becomes immanent as life, that is constantly creating differentiation and diversity inside the oneness. So the transcendent godness, who's in this text is named Bhairava, is sitting with the immanent godness, who in this text is called Devi, meaning goddess, or Bhairavi, or Shakti. And she's asked him, if he'll remember, to tell her the truth about who he is and how we experience him. And in this text, Bhairava is called him. Just think of it as the him beyond hims and hers. And as he he begins to give her the methods, he does this very paradoxical thing. First of all, he tells her that his true nature is essentially unknowable, beyond any form, completely ungraspable, non-dual, cannot be touched by any of the methods of religious practice. And then he begins to tell her that, although this is true, that by moving through the doors, the doorways inside reality, that Shakti, the immanent, creative, energetic aspect of Godhead, reveals to us in so many moments of experience, by learning how to use these doorways, we can enter into that transcendent state from wherever we happen to be. And that's the important through line, from wherever we happen to be. So, in fact, the practices in this text approach the divine reality from several different points of view, several different methodologies, one being the methodology of immediate direct recognition. You are God. You are Godness. Your entire experience of life is a manifestation of Godness. And in this text, that Godness quality is called bliss, transcendent absolute, Godhead, supreme consciousness, pure shunya or spaciousness, ultimate energy. And the fundamental principle, which I know you've all heard before because it's a core tenet of you know, what we could call the new thought spirituality, as well as of the ancient Eastern non-dual texts.
Hi, the conference line just bounced me off, as you probably figured out, and I'm calling back on my cell. Hopefully, it will work well. So we were talking about divine consciousness, about God, and God just gave us an experience of even the most untoward happenings are Godness, if we want to understand it like that. So this is what I was planning to talk about, and let's just see how we do with it. And again, I appreciate you all hanging in there with faith, waiting to be reconnected. Have the recognition that this universe, the air around you, everything that you see and feel and experience, is actually making love to you through the air. In other words, that the divine awareness, the divine consciousness, the Godness, is so present and so in love with you that it, she, that is in a continual, blissful relationship with you. Can you feel that? Can you experience that? Just let yourself be present with that experience. Now, take a few moments and start with the chant that we chant with every one of these classes, the chant that asks us to be aware of the presence of Shiva, the divine energy, within all things, within ourselves, and to recognize that divine energy as awareness, presence, and blissfulness. And I'm going to play the chant as Krishnadas sings it, and we'll chant along with Krishnadas.
Namah Shivaya Gurave Sachidananda Murtaya Nishprapancha Shantaya Niralambaya Deyate Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Sachidananda Murtaya Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Deyate Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Sachidananda Murtaya Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Deyate
Take the next few moments and offer this class and our practice, asking that it be of benefit to all beings and to the earth. So, as we were saying, one of the feelings, one of the experiences, one of the attitudes that we want to hold in order to bring ourselves into full relationship with the Vijnanabhairava is to recognize that the ineffable, transcendent, and immanent presence, the pulsing presence that in this text, in this tradition, is called Bhairava or Shiva or Shakti, which we might call God or pulsing awareness. And as I was saying, it's very important that we find words for this which make it real for us, because we hear this again and again and again. It's almost a cliche of contemporary spirituality that everything is one, that we're all made of the same substance, that there's really no separation between you and me and everything that exists. The thing is that, of course, much of the time we are saying this and not really embodying it. We know it, but we really don't know it. When I lived in a spiritual community, even the five-year-olds could say things like, I'm God, they would say. It was actually very cute. I'm God. I'm Shiva. Or, you can do anything because you're God. You can do anything. And these are very, very beautiful understandings to hold. But, of course, the question is, how do we really live them? How do we really apply them? And that's actually what the Vijnanabhairava is for. It's to give you ways of tuning into this teaching, to tuning into this recognition, even if you're in a fairly contracted state. And it's, as again, as we were saying, it's to remind you that all sorts of ordinary experiences are actually experiences of non-ordinary reality. So, for example, the space between the breaths is a very immediate one, or the widening of awareness that some of you have been sharing about when you really listen to all the sounds around you. Or when, for example, and you can do this right now, if you open your eyes and look at the space around the objects in your room rather than at the objects, or you might even look through the objects rather than at the objects. But this is one of the dharanas, one of the practices in the Vijnanabhairava, to tune into the space within which objects are appearing, rather than on the denseness of the objects, tune into the more subtle manifestation that is the space, and something happens as you do this. Or there are the kind of openings that occur. For instance, when I was a child, I used to sit in the back seat of the family car on a road trip, looking out the window, and after a while my mind would just expand. And this is described in Vijnanabhairava, verse 83, when you're in a moving vehicle or walking very slowly, that as you focus on the movement, that state of Bhairava can open up. A lot of us have this experience while we're dancing, or And this is another dharma. When you're hiking or jogging and you walk till you're exhausted and then you sit down, you notice that natural meditative state that arises in that moment. And you might have that experience every time you walk or swim or dance, and you might look forward to it. It might be a really important part of your day, or at least your week. But are you actually aware that that open space, that spaciousness, that peace that you experience while you're jogging or dancing or riding the bus is an experience of God? In other words, do you recognize the sacredness of it rather than having it appear to you as just a nice piece of your day? Not that that's a bad thing, but what the text is really pointing out to us is that along with all these very esoteric practices, and don't worry, we'll be doing a couple of them, these aren't meaningless moments. These are actual samadhis. They are samadhi being the state of yogic absorption. They are momentary and immediately available immersions in true God consciousness, in the underlying sacred energy that's always present. And if you don't recognize them, of course, they come and go, but we don't necessarily harvest them. Sort of like in the movie You've Got Mail, where Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks are, you know, having a sort of a love affair via email, but they don't know who each other is. And in real life, they're actually proprietors of rival bookstores, and they don't like each other. And the whole movie is about how they come to recognize that their beloved pen pal is actually, you know, that blonde who runs the bookstore, or the guy who runs the big bookstore. So it's when they recognize each other that they get to experience the miracle of their connection. So Vijnana Bhairava just really wants to point out to us that because non-duality is real, because there really is no separation, that means, first of all, there's no right way to experience that darkness. It's present. It's available. It can come to any sort of experience, including rather unpleasant ones. And therefore, it's not confined to the mat. It's not something we do when we're sitting. I mean, although, of course, we can, and I personally find it, you know, easier to experience godness when I'm sitting with my eyes closed than I do when I'm at the supermarket. But the very underpinning of the Vijnana Bhairava is really to accept the understanding that what you are is individuated godness. And I'm repeating this because I'm hoping that if I keep repeating it in different ways, the ho-hum factor will sort of dissipate and you'll go, oh my God, that's actually true. I'm individuated godness, not just my meditative absorbed state, but also my body, my mind, the pulsation of energy in my left shoulder, my itch, the energy that's present in my anger and desire, which we're going to work with this week. So that's one. Number two, which we just covered, is to recognize that the God space is accessible through any number of methods, which means that you get to pick the one that floats your boat. In other words, Shiva's giving you all these methods because he knows that not all of them is going to work, but one of them will, or maybe 10 of them will. And he's also implying, which is really important, that there's not just one way to the truth. There are many, many, many ways. And the way that's suitable for you this month may be very different than the one that worked for you 5 years ago, or the one that's going to be the most powerful for you 6 months from now. So really the advantage of of being exposed to different methods is so that, essentially so that you can take them seriously enough to practice them. So in the Vijnana Vairava Tantra, there are several core themes that keep coming up again and again. And I'm just going to point them out before we go into some short and extended meditations. One of them is the idea of spaciousness, of emptiness. In a lot of traditions, in fact, that space and silence are both kind of descriptive metaphors for the ultimate state. So that it's described very often as, especially in Buddhism, as ultimate emptiness, and shunya as voidness. So what Bhairava says is that these aren't metaphors, they're doorways. In other words, the idea of emptiness, of spaciousness, is not just a way of describing a certain quality of the ultimate reality, which is that it's contentless. It's also a way of pointing out to you ways to find it. So, for example, I'm going to start talking slowly. And if you focus on the spaces between the words, on the silence between the words, and kind of feel your way into the silence, the space between this word and this word. Feeling your way into this silence, not with a sense of absence, but of presence. This is verse 40. At the end of this next word, be present in the silence. Again, be present in the silence here. Can you stay poised in the pulsation of silence even when I start to speak? So what may have happened, you know, for some of you this was quite strong. For some of you, in the space of silence, thoughts started coming up, which thoughts will tend to do because that's the nature of Shakti manifesting as mental consciousness, is to manifest itself as thoughts. So, again, what Ayurveda tells us in verse 116 is just to remember wherever my mind goes, everywhere my mind goes, including into explosions of distracting thoughts, that too is Vairava, divine consciousness. So it's a very good tantric method for working with the mind. Think as much as you like. Just remember, use the mind from time to time to recognize that the thoughts also are made out of godness. They're made out of pulsing mind stuff, energy, which is godness. So I'm just going to offer you that as the method for working with distraction as it comes up or with the tendency of the mind to wander. Just remember, it's godness that it's wandering to. It's Bhairava, it's Shiva, it's presence, it's consciousness. Another of the big themes of the Vijnana Bhairava is this understanding that about the madhya, or the middle space, the middle way, if you will, the real middle way is the madhya. And madhya means center or middle, that's what it literally means. But what the madhya is in mystical terms is the experience of consciousness expansion, of wideness, of vastness, that opens when the space between the breath, the space between words, the space between thoughts, the space at the end of a sound, when that space opens, as it were, and we are able to realize that actually behind that space is something much larger and much vaster. Some of you are having that experience of how the space between one breath and another can expand, and suddenly your body is inside the space between the breaths. It's not that the breath is coming and going in and out of your body. The body is inside that space. And in fact, in verse 26, Bhairava says, the energy of breath should neither move out nor enter. When the madhya unfolds by the dissolution of thoughts, then one attains the nature of Bhairava. And what he's describing is that experience that you have when the breath stops. If you can let yourself be there in the pause of the breath, what will happen is that this center, this middle space, this indescribable middle space, it's called the madhya, will open up, and you'll experience a moment of complete peace and stillness and vastness. So the other meaning of the word madhya, as your yogis know, is the space inside the Sushumna Nadi, or the central channel, the slender column of energy that runs inside the very middle of the body, in the subtle body. It's sometimes described as the subtle spinal column, because it runs from the Muladhara chakra at the very base of the spine all the way up through the crown chakra up to the point known as the upper space of 12, or the space of 3/5 above the crown, which is the opening into Shiva consciousness in the subtle body. So the Sushumna Nadi, the central channel, is really the center in the subtle body, not only where the Kundalini Shakti rises, but which is the actual inner space where we go in deep meditation. So in our ordinary state of consciousness, the breath is, of course, flowing in and out of the body. And also, according to the yogic text, flowing through two channels that run on each side of the nostril, called the Ida and Pingala, which are the natural with the natural channels through which life force energy flows in our subtle system. The Sushumna Nadi, the Madhya Nadi, is so subtle that we're ordinarily not aware of it. But many of the practices in the Vijnana Bhairava are actually practices for giving us entrance into the Sushumna Nadi. And one of the underlying recognitions is that when this central channel opens to us and begins to expand, that is the natural experience of the God state, of the Buddha consciousness. And we're going to practice now with verse number 35, which asks us, it says, the central channel situated in the center of the body is subtle like the fiber of a lotus stalk, which means to say it's really subtle. So by meditating in the space within it, through the goddess of the inner space, God is revealed. So I want to practice with you with a technique that allows us to actually, so to speak, knock on the door of the Sushumna Nadi and allow it to open us up to us. The key to it is hinted at in verse 34, which suggests that we focus on the inner space of the skull. And what one way to do this is to enter into the space of the third eye center. Now, the third eye, or the sixth chakra, is usually shown in the forehead. If you see paintings of deities like Kali and Shiva, you see it's a vertical eye in the forehead that indicates that their consciousness is awake, because when the third eye center is open, we are entering into the state of awake consciousness. But for our purposes, the third eye can be located by imagining that a horizontal line is drawn between your two ears, and then a vertical line is drawn from the crown through the center of the neck. And in the space where those two lines intersect, which is just above the hard palate, in the very center of the head, and you can find that now by touching the tip of your tongue to the hard palate, and then taking your attention just above it into the very center of the head. And begin to breathe with the feeling that the breath is coming in and out through the forehead, and that the inhalation brings your attention into this space, this center, just above the hard palate, in the center of the skull. And that with the exhalation, you feel that inner center expanding just a little. So your awareness is in the very center of the head. And you're feeling that the breath is coming in and out through the center of the forehead, which, of course, physically it isn't. But just recognize that actually our whole body is capable of breathing. And only that, we're capable of breathing without the breath coming in and out. So without straining, just use your imagination to feel that your breath is flowing in and out through the center of the forehead, the center in the very middle of the head. And with each inhalation and each exhalation, your attention centers more inside the third eye. And you may feel your attention here as a sense of presence or pressure or a kind of pulsing energy. And if the pressure feels uncomfortable, widen your sense of the third eye center so that it is not just inside your head, but also wide enough surrounding your head so that the energy can kind of expand. But essentially, you want to focus on this space in the center of the head, in the center of the skull. You can also imagine that there's a point of light there, or even a flame. So as the breath flows in and out, you actually imagine that this flame in the center of the head is glowing just a bit. It's filled with presence. It's filled with Shakti. It's filled with the luminosity of awake consciousness. Now feel it with the next inhalation. Your attention flows down to the very center of the chest, to the heart. So it's as if the breath is flowing in through the third eye and down the center of the body, down the central channel of the body, into the heart. And then with the exhalation, feel that the breath flows up from the center of the heart, up through the throat, into the third eye center. And allow your attention now to flow into the heart with the inhalation, into the third eye center with the exhalation, as though the breath and your attention were flowing vertically from the third eye to the heart along this subtle column of energy that connects the two. You might experience that column as being wide, the same width, for example, as your throat. You might imagine it as being very slender. What's important is that you allow your attention to flow between the heart and the third eye, inhaling down to the heart, exhaling up into the third eye. You can make the breath as long or as short as you need. What's significant is that you focus in the heart with the inhalation, in the third eye with the exhalation, and begin to feel how, as you do this, there starts to be a natural experience of the channel that connects the two in the very center of the body. So as I say the next few words, see if you can let your awareness continue to flow between the heart and the third eye center, the sixth chakra. And I hope that as you let your focus rest here, you can do it with attentiveness, but without struggle, focusing, but not trying too hard. It's really, really the key here is to begin to exercise your subtle senses so that they can actually start to tune into the channels that really do already exist, just as these chakras exist. And remember that whatever thought is arising or whatever sensation in the body, rather than following it or seeing it as a distraction, just remember that wherever your mind goes is God, Shiva, pure presence, divine energy, Shakti. Now, in the next group of verses that we're going to work with there, the ones that we've been practicing with so far occur early in the text, and they actually point to the fundamental foundational tantric practices that we work with in order to really start to open up the subtle body. And in fact, this practice of meditating with the breath flowing between the heart and the third eye is one of the original practices for allowing Kundalini to rise. In many of the tantric traditions, Kundalini arises not necessarily from the base of the spine, but from the heart. And when it rises into the third eye, it begins to open up the capacity for higher states of consciousness in the centers in the head. So as you follow the breath, and we're going to be doing this practice during the week, as you focus in the inner heart and the third eye, just have the sense that the energy inside your breath is prana shakti, is the awakened breath energy that's also called Kundalini, that's working to open up your inner body to the wonders that are present within it. So in the next couple of verses that we'll work with, Bhairava plays with a whole series of practices for tuning into the energies within desire and anger and fear, within intense emotions. This, to me, and I think to many of us, is one of the really radical and beautiful, I would say revolutionary, practices that Tantra gives us. It's the recognition, the understanding that intense emotion in and of itself is the doorway into Shakti. So this is actually verse 101, and I sent you earlier today, and also it's available as a download from the course website, a transliteration and translation of the verses. So this is verse 101, and essentially what it says is, in a state of extreme desire, extreme anger, jealousy, envy, fear, if you enter that state, if you make your mind stable in the states of desire, anger, greed, delusion, which means infatuation, intoxication, or envy, then the reality that underlies them will make itself present. So there are a lot of ways to do this practice. But first of all, I'd like to practice with the energy within desire. In yoga, of course, desire is an ambiguous force. Classical yoga and Buddhism both tell us that desires, especially sensual desire, worldly desire, desire for love, even desire for attaining a state you don't already have, that these are, let's say, inimical to the experience of deep meditation and self-realization. But Tantra, as many of you know, sees desire as a divine quality. So desire in Tantra and in Indian philosophy in general is a source of creativity. And creativity, remember, is one of the essential qualities of the divine. So when desire springs up inside Shiva, worlds manifest. And the same is true for us. Our desires are the seed of our acts. So, you know, a lot of New Age thought is based on this understanding. In fact, there's a famous statement in the Vedas, which is quoted a lot these days, as is your will, so is your thought, as is your thought, so is your deed. So we're defined by what we desire. And one of the ways that it's very skillful to work with desire, if you want to understand what's behind it, is to ask yourself, what do I really want? Like right now, what do I want? I'm going to give you this question as a contemplation for the week, but you can try it for a moment. And now ask another question. What do I want by getting what I want? What do I really want by getting what I want? In other words, if I get what I want, what will it give me? And what you'll probably discover as you ask this question is that what you want is some kind of satisfaction. So if you keep dropping into that question, you know, what do I really want? I really want to be loved. What will I get with that? You can deconstruct desires until you recognize the ones that really drive you. And in nearly every case, that will show you where your life is taking you. And often they'll show you that there are actually deep primal longings behind those desires, and that those longings connect you to Shakti. They are profound engines for life transformation. So that's a contemplation that is good to do with a notebook. But these dharanas, this is particularly verse 96, it's a very, very yogic practice. And it's what Bhairava says is, if you observe a desire as it arises spontaneously, put an end to it immediately, and it will merge at the place from where it has sprung up. Now, when we practice this, remember, this is not an anti-desire sutra. What it's actually asking us to do is to find the energy inside desire. It's actually the best time to do this is when you're in the grip of a really strong desire, when you're in the grip of a spontaneous desire. But for now, see if you can bring up something that you actually want very badly in your daily life. And if there's nothing you want very badly, you can think of a smaller desire, like, you know, what you'd like, something you'd like to eat, or someone you'd like to see, or maybe a project that you want to do. So see if you can find a desire that has some meaning for you. And see if you can feel your way into that desire. See if you can feel
the way the energy of desire pulsates inside you? Where do you feel it? Some of you may not be that skilled at finding the, let's call it the feeling space inside your body for something that is as ineffable as desire. But almost all of us can find the place where sexual desire begins. So that's a good place to start. So if you'd like to kindle a sexual desire, that will work. Or if it's a desire for eating or a desire for something subtler, you can focus on that. But just find the feeling of that desire arising. Now, see if you can make it stop. Pull your attention away from it. And what I suggest you do is actually pull your attention up to the third eye, the space of the third eye. Now, what happens to the desire? See if you can actually notice what happens to the desire. Where does it go? How does it change? How does the energy inside that desire expand or morph? See if you can feel the energy in it. So focusing purely on the energetic feeling inside the desire, notice the energy pulsing, create some space around it. See if you can meditate inside that energy. Make your mind stable there. That means that you're letting go of thoughts around it, you're letting go of the contents of fantasy, you're just focusing on the energy inside that desire. Again, here's the verse. When the fire of desire arises in you, when the fire of anger arises in you, when greed arises, when envy arises, when confusion arises, when you're hating somebody, when you're jealous of somebody, make your mind stable at the moment when this emotion arises. I'm going to give you an example of how this practice works. And my experience with it is with anger, and we're going to practice with anger in a moment. Anger being one of the strongest energy, one of the emotions that has, for many of us, the most energy. So this happened to me last New Year's Eve, and a friend of mine who was supposed to come over called and canceled at the last minute. And when they did this, I felt a sense of intense, almost overwhelming anger. And it wasn't just because they, you know, it was the last minute and I had to change my plans. It actually had touched off a kind of a core of anger from disappointments in the past and people who had not kept their promises, you know, that particular form of anger. And it was really strong. And it was so strong that that I had an almost overwhelming impulse to act on it. And I had my, I picked up my iPhone and I was tapping out a nasty text on my iPhone. It was literally mid-text, and it was a very scathing text, basically telling the person not to ever call me again. I was that mad. And then something said to me, okay, this is really strong. Practice with it. So with intense effort, I dragged my fingers off the touch screen, and I began to focus on the feeling, and it was so powerful that I actually had to walk around the room. I couldn't sit still with it. So I'm pacing the room, and then I stopped and I closed my eyes, and I focused on the feeling of the anger, which was literally burning in my chest. And if you've ever really tapped into your, you know, the core of your held-in anger, the anger that you hardly ever feel, but it's sitting there, it kept getting stronger and stronger, and I knew to not think so much about the stories that were arising, but to focus on the core of the feeling. And as I did, as I focused on the incredible intensity of it, something opened behind my heart, and everything in my awareness expanded. And this feeling of intense excitement and joy and freedom was just emanating in waves from the energy, and it, and when I opened my eyes, the whole room was kind of shimmering with this energy. So the tantric truth is that because Shakti, meaning divine energy, is at the heart of all feelings and emotions, and especially intense ones, we can teach ourselves to recognize and pay attention to the energy inside uncomfortable feelings. And it takes some practice. But once you learn how to do this with strong feelings, to hold a feeling, not to give in to it, act on it, not to push it away, but to actually regard it, look into it, turn into it, then the power of your attention, the power of your awareness can actually start to release the energy inside anger or jealousy or greediness or different forms of desire. It can actually start to release it. And when it does, that energy becomes available to you for all sorts of things, including the expansion of consciousness. So we're going to practice that now. And you can move around and stand up if you need to. And then when you're ready, take a seat. And I hope that you're already thinking of a situation that has either made you very angry in the past or that perhaps is making you angry at this point in your life. And use the story, think of the story, dwell on the story until you start to feel the feeling of anger arising inside you. And just recognize for a moment that we are holding a safe space for anger to arise. So in this moment, you can let it arise. You don't have to act on it. But see if you can feel, if you can focus on the way anger feels when it rises. And if, as you do, if you've managed to kindle a feeling of anger, even if it's a little one, what you probably notice is that it tends to move outward from a central core. It tends to move outward and maybe fill up your body or express itself in a number of angry thoughts or scenarios. I can't stand this person. Blah, blah, blah. How can they do it? You each have your own, we each have our own scenario. So make the effort to turn back from the thoughts about it. Turn back into the core of the anger. And focus on the part of your body where you feel the most intense angry energy. It might be in your chest area, solar plexus. It might be in your throat. It might be behind your eyes. So keep bringing your attention into the felt sense of the energy of anger inside your body. And every time the scenario or the story starts to come up, see if you can let that go and just focus into the energy. Just focus into the energy. So you're really investigating this energy. You're seeing how it feels. Is it sharp? Is it pulsing? Is it hot? And as you focus inside it, notice how the energy starts to change. It starts to transform. And it's not like you're trying to make it go away or turn into love or anything like that. You're just being present with it and allowing it to do what it does. And you recognize that it's not fixed, this energy inside anger. It moves, it changes, it transmutes. And see if you can, again, move your attention into it. If you're moving into it, see if you can feel your way into the deeper energy, deeper sensate feeling inside your body with what started out as anger energy. And if you like, you can imagine a space around it, taking advantage of the tantric vision of spaciousness as the subtler form of consciousness energy. See if you can simultaneously hold the spacious energy with the denser energy and just allow them to be present together. And just be there with it, with the feeling, with the felt sense. And see if you can, as you're holding the anger energy with the space, and it's probably morphed in some major way by now. Name it as Shakti, as divine conscious energy. Name it as pure presence. And just notice what that does, how that affects your experience. So you can open your eyes. Just notice how the energy feels in your body. Notice how the room looks. I'd like to suggest that you do this practice, that you continue to do this practice. Work with it when you feel, if you're feeling fearful, or if you're feeling jealous, or if you're feeling insecure, see if you can go into the feeling and to begin to recognize the energy, tune into the energy, feel where it is in your body, let go of the story, and see if you can notice how the energy shifts and changes. It may actually turn into something very beautiful. It may just give you an experience of shifting, of changing. We're going to do yet one more practice, one that is maybe familiar to some of you, and that is one that I have found to be extremely powerful for opening up the spaciousness inside experiences of discomfort or attachment. And this is verse 103. And it says, dwell neither on pain or pleasure, O Bhairavi. Recognize that reality is in the center, the madhya, again, the space between pain and pleasure. So this is another one of those practices in which you can begin to find the core of reality in the middle space, the middle way. And in fact, this is the real middle way. I'm convinced that when Buddha talked about the middle way, he was talking about the madhya. So here's the dharana. Here's the practice. What we're going to be doing is switching back and forth between moments that felt painful and moments that felt pleasurable. So remember a situation in which you were in pain. And I'm not speaking of physical pain here. I'm really speaking of emotional pain. Your lover left, you've been falsely accused of something, you've made a big mistake. That's actually a really good one. Sometime when you just made a mistake and you're upset about it. And just let yourself be present in the felt sense of the painful experience. Now, imagine a situation where you're completely happy. Just remember a situation in which you felt happy. You're with someone you really enjoy and you're having a great time. You're cuddling your child. You're biking on a mountain path and the wind is moving through your hair and you're just enjoying yourself a lot. And see if you can tune into the felt sense of enjoyment. Now, once again, feel the painful memory. Experience the sadness or the loss. Feel where it is in your body. And move back to the pleasurable memory. Experience the contentment, the joy, the excitement. Feel it in your mind or feel it in your body. Now imagine that on one side of your body, let's say the left side, is the painful feeling. And on the other side of your body, let's say the right side, is a pleasurable feeling. Can you let there be the energy of a painful feeling on the left side of your body and the energy of a pleasurable feeling on the right side of your body? Can you let your attention move back and forth between one and the other? And begin to notice what happens. Notice that as you move your attention back and forth, from a pleasurable feeling to a painful feeling, back to a painful feeling. That you become aware of yourself as the one who is poised between them. See if you can experience how your consciousness, capable as it is, of moving between pain and pleasure and actually creating pain and creating pleasure by your thoughts. How you are neither the victim of the painful feeling nor the seeker of the pleasurable feeling. You're the one who experiences them both. the one who rests in the middle between pain and pleasure. So just let yourself be aware of yourself as the one who's poised between pain and pleasure. What does that feel like, that middle space, the madhya, between the two emotional extremes, so to speak? And we're going to try talking again, and this time I'm going to put you on what's called Q&A mode, and that means that if you want to talk, you can press star 7. So here we go. Those of you who raised your hand previously and didn't get called on because somehow the system wasn't working due to my inexpertise with it, you can press star 7 and you'll unmute yourself and we'll be able to hear you. So, what was that last practice like? What occurred as you did the practice with anger? Is there something you'd like to tell us or something you'd like to ask? Press star 7. Hi. You're on.
Hey, Sally, this is Gail calling from up in Canada.
Hi, Gail.
Wonderful to hear you as usual. So wonderful. I was just feeling in that last practice how, I just wondered if you could speak to this, how the madhya space wasn't so much between as it was sort of transcendent but inclusive of the two. It kind of was like the backdrop.
Sort of around.
Yeah, it wasn't so much in between.
Yes.
In that background or that spacious place, I felt like I could see and experience both of the two, but I wasn't in either of them.
Yes. Well, that so is the idea. Absolutely.
Yeah, it just seemed. I just was when I think of in between, I think of things like all in a row, right? And there's just something
right
in the middle.
Right.
It doesn't so much feel like that.
Right. It's more like the background awareness within which pain and pleasure arise. Right.
That makes sense. And I, yeah, that resonates. That is clear. I also wondered if you could, and you might have talked about this at the very beginning of class because I missed the first 10 minutes, but I wondered if you could also speak a bit to, like, a bit more about when we would use certain practices. Like, you mentioned before with the, when you feel a strong emotion,
right,
then you could, that time to kind of do the one you were just, you know, two practices before this one. But if you could just speak a bit about, like, how do we choose amongst all of these?
Well, that's a great question. What I'm suggesting is that you actually work with the practices that I'm sending you each week, simply because I'm selecting them. So that just gives you the opportunity to play with certain practices. What I always suggest is to actually read through the text and notice that some of the practices will actually at this moment seem too difficult or too esoteric or too mysterious. Some of the practices will seem absolutely, like something that you could experiment with in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like to do with the Vijnana Bhairava is sit with the dharanas, with the text, and you can actually do it with a transliteration that I've sent you, and play with them, experiment with them. So it's not, so the way you know to do a practice is that you've played with enough of them so that you're familiar with them and you can pay attention to what comes up as a suggestion for practice moment by moment. So you actually have to have played with and experimented with some of the practices to know which one is going to be great for you at any moment. I have to say that the practice that I always work with over and over again is some version of wherever my mind goes is God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a transcendent include kind of practice in that it will pacify the agitation in a situation simply because it'll help you realize that even the agitation is a form of divine consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
I
would say one of the reasons that we're doing this class is to experiment with practices so that you can begin to feel which ones feel juicy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And also sometimes one will feel particularly difficult for you at a given moment, and then sometimes that's a signal to play with it.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Gail.
Okay. Do I press star 6 to mute again, or do I press star 7?
You press star 6 to mute it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So it looks like Janet in Tucson.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I became a fulcrum, and I inhaled in the right to the positive thought and exhaled on the left to the painful thought and watched the painful thought blow away.
Uh-huh.
And I inhaled into my heart and exhaled into my third eye. And it was nice to feel that actually I was a fulcrum and these things were swaying on either side of me and were very impermanent.
Yes.
Did not need to stick. And, the negative blew away and even the positive became less hard,
edgy.
Fast, permanent. Yes, less edgy.
Yeah.
More bad.
Nice.
And
beautiful.
And your first exercise I'm going to write more about because that was amazing. It was, I realized I have just completed a project to the stage of the beginning of the third trimester. And it's not a pregnancy, it's this book I've been writing. And I realized how much it's a primal scream. And there was so much that was there that just had to come out. And it came out almost in the sequence. I'm almost going to make that analogy of the pregnancy, which is basically what the book is about. And there was so much, angst, anger, sadness built up before that book, burst out. And whether it's a good book or a bad book, it doesn't matter because it just had to come out of me as, I want to say, a very primal scream about, what I experienced. So it was great.
That's a fabulous insight. And I think it's something to really pay attention to is how the energy of desire, the energy that demands expression, is actually, it may contain the primal energies of anger and, sadness, all these other flavors of emotional energy, but at the core of it is this this urgency, this rising urgency, which is the nature of Shakti, and which is at the heart of any action. And that, and you know, how great that it was a creative action that it expressed itself. So
yeah,
that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So I'd love it if others of you would write in your experience and your questions about these practices. The question that Gail raised is a really good one, but how do we experience the Madhya? So we talk about it as the space between, the middle space. And that analogy holds very well for the space between one breath and another, or the sushumna nadi, which is in the middle of the body. It's like a spatial metaphor, so to speak. But as Gail said, when the Madhya opens, or when we become aware of ourselves as that, let's call it the awareness that holds both pain and pleasure, it is a sense of surround. It's, you know, in the words that she used, it both transcends and includes the emotions. So in that sense, it's an integrative awareness. It allows us to metabolize pain and pleasure, or anger, desire, sadness, all the different permutations of emotion. Part of what the Tantra offers us is something that Janet was just talking about, is how any transformative or creative or expressive moment in life, a moment is a moment when we can really seize the primal quality of Shakti in our experience. So if we take a moment like that, and instead of expressing it, which is, you know, a beautiful thing to do, but instead of expressing it, we choose to turn it in on itself and so to speak, use it to recognize what's at the very heart of that urge. What we find is literally the primal life force, and that experience of the primal life force turned back on itself can literally expand our awareness beyond any bounds. So as we do these practices, we realize we actually have a choice. We can let the Shakti express itself, hopefully in positive ways, but sometimes, you know, in ways that don't feel so positive in the moment. But also we have the choice to turn that energy back on itself, not to suppress it or repress it, but to investigate what is its core, what is its source, and allow that source to make itself known to us. Because the source of our emotions, the intense energy that's the source of emotion, is the primordial creative Shakti of the universe, which we can grab hold of, we can seize, we can ride into states of realization through the power of the energy that would otherwise be expressed in the intensity of an emotional response. So this is a core tantric practice that's very powerful to work with. And you'll be getting a homework assignment, and you'll be getting some sort of step-by-step explanation of that process, which I'm going to ask you to play with, as well as the contemplation on desire. And right now, we're going to close our eyes. Allow ourselves to pay attention to the breath. Bring our attention into the very center of the head, into the third eye. Feel as though the breath is coming in and out through the center of the head. And then deepen your experience so that as you inhale, you're aware of the center of the heart, the center behind the breastbone. And as you exhale, you're aware of the third eye at the center in the head. And without trying to make the breath longer or shorter, allow your attention to flow with the inhalation down into the heart. And with the exhalation, into the very center of the head, into the inner space of the third eye. And allow yourself as spontaneously as possible to also become aware of the inner channel that connects these two centers in the body. Any one of these spaces can open up into the madhya, the inner heart, the third eye, and the space that connects them, the channel that connects them. So let yourself play with these centers, the inner third eye, the inner heart, and the channel within the subtle body that naturally connects the heart with the third eye. And you may find as you enter into this practice that your awareness wants to rise up through the crown of the head with the exhalation, and that it wants to flow down into the lower body, perhaps towards the base of the spine with the inhalation. So see how your attention flows in the inner body. As you inhale, with your attention tuned to the heart, and exhale with your attention tuned towards the third eye. If at some point you become naturally and easily aware of the connecting thread between these centers, the Sushumna Nadi, which runs in truth from the base of the spine up through the crown. Is really present as an interspaciousness that can be as slender as the narrowest fraction of a hair or as wide as the sky. But you're letting the breath and your attention to the heart and the third eye allow you to tune into this slender vertical thread, as without effort or forcing or strain, you just allow your awareness to ride the breath. Have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week. Namaste.